You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
I invite you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, tonight as we gather in your name on your night, we invite you by your Spirit to be among us, to take us from a place of simply being in a space to being in your space with you, the light of the world who comes into our darkness. And so, Jesus, lead us this evening as we celebrate your birth together. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome here. I'm just going to grab this. Welcome here this evening. My name is Keith. I'm the lead pastor here. Really excited to be gathering on Christmas Eve. Yet again, it comes around every year, doesn't it? And thanks to Tim and the team who led us this evening. Tim and Kevin are all the way from Vernon, so that's maybe was the north. You were like further north, and so way to go, guys. Hey, bless you. I remember a certain Christmas time many years ago. I was 10 years old, and so actually it was really many, many years ago now. And my parents, they dragged me to a family Christmas dinner. We were going to some family friend's house for dinner, and I was not into it one bit, not a single bit. I mean, the only thing a 10-year-old boy wants to do on Christmas Day is be at home with his new toys, right? Well, my parents, they wanted to go out for Christmas dinner at this family friend's, and it was like torture. But you know, there was one thing that saved the day for this 10-year-old boy. As we were seated in the dining room, there on the table were the biggest Christmas crackers my 10-year-old eyes had ever seen. I mean, we all love a Christmas cracker, don't we, right? I mean, we've done that here in the past. When you came in, this was a few years ago, you got a Christmas cracker, et cetera, et cetera. But we love a Christmas cracker because it's a pop of joy, isn't it? It's this unexpected surprise. Well, here's my gift to all of you kids, young and old out there, who wish you'd rather be at home opening Christmas presents. Why don't you go on and reach underneath your chair for a little Christmas surprise? Don't be shy. The surprise is not an old piece of gum, I hope. But you go on and reach around. You might need to get like real deep in there. But under there is a Christmas cracker surprise for you. Now, for an even greater surprise, for those of you joining us at home, we want you to reach under your chair. We didn't have the budget for that. I'm sorry. I sincerely apologize. There's only gum under your chair. But we're going to do this right here in this moment. We're going to have Kelowna's largest Christmas cracker pull here on Christmas Eve. So what we're going to do, why don't you gather with your bubble, all right? We're kind of in this zone here. Maybe you came with some family. If you couldn't find one under your chair, we have some kind ushers with a few extras, but there are lots under the chair. Take two, why not? Get with your bubble, all right? And you know how this works? If you can make a circle, you can kind of do the cross arm routine, or you can just simply, if you're on your own, you can do kind of the one off. You can do the, you know, over the shoulder. On the count of three, are we ready? Sharon wants one there. All right, we got up there. Everyone's got it. Are we ready? How we doing, Wong family? You okay up there? You got it, Braden? All right, here we go. On the count of three, are we ready? One, two, three. All right, Merry Christmas. It's always a good time. The smell of gunpowder in the morning. Feel free to don your apparel. We've got some stickers and we got a joke. Why don't you tell the joke to the person next to you? That's always a good time. Where is the ocean the deepest? The bottom. That is actually not a joke. That is true. So that is true. So good stuff. All right. I'm going to put this over here. Over the past four Sundays of Advent, We've been looking at the Christmas story that is told in a very unexpected way, right? We've been looking over the last 4 weeks as a church. Maybe you're new to us this evening, but over the last 4 weeks, we've been looking at the Christmas story told in a very unexpected way. As it's told by Matthew, in Matthew chapter 1, it's the Christmas story that comes as a genealogy. And so it goes like this. It says, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it goes on. It says, Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah. And it goes on and on and on, generation after generation after generation. And then we come to the end of the genealogy. And it says, and Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Now, Matthew, he's telling the story in a creative way. There among a list of Jesus' forefathers, we read about five different mothers. It's an unexpected twist in the way Matthew tells the story. He wants us to hear their stories. He wants us to hear them because the stories of these five mothers, they point us to a God who works in very unexpected ways, to do very unexpected things. They're the story of Tamar, of Rahab, of Ruth, of Bathsheba. We've heard those stories over this last month. Their lives are a testament to the God who sees our tragedies, who sees our brokenness and the effects of sin, and that same God works to overturn each one of them. The stories of these mothers are about the God who writes a new story with his love in every one of our lives, a God who writes the wrongs and heals the hurts. And tonight I want to turn for just a brief moment to look at the last mother mentioned in Matthew's telling of his Christmas story in the genealogy of Jesus. And it's the story of Mary. Now, let's consider for a moment what that first Christmas was like for her. It all begins with a very unexpected announcement. I mean, an angel appears to Mary who would have been no more than 15 or 16 years old at the time. I mean, imagine that night for her. Mary is probably in her room alone, making a TikTok video, something like that. And God's messenger, he appears to her and he says, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And then Mary freaks out a little bit, right? Because that's probably the only appropriate response. And then the angel continues and says, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Mary's first Christmas began with an unexpected announcement. And this unexpected announcement was about an unexpected birth. The angel of the Lord continues and says to Mary, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, God's people, they had been waiting in expectation for something. There was something expected about that Christmas evening. They had long expected the Messiah to come. Everything in Mary's history was pointing toward a precise moment in history when God, in a cataclysmic way, would change the course of history forever. When he would send a Messiah, God's anointed one who had divine authority and power to set a sin-stained world right again. Someone with power and authority to right every wrong, to forgive every transgression, and get this, to restore both the victim and the transgressor to God. In short, the world, the weary world, was waiting for God to establish a kingdom of peace on earth once and for all. But here's the thing. This long-expected Messiah, he came in the most unexpected of ways. You see, Jesus did not come into our world the way most powerful kings and powerful warriors came into the world. The high king of heaven was born a pauper. He was born in poverty. The Lord of all things came with nothing to his name. He was born in a back alley stable in a back country town with only a feeding trough for a bed. The powerful God of angel armies came to us as a helpless child. The first Christmas comes with an unexpected announcement about an unexpected birth through an unexpected woman, Mary. As I said, Mary was just a teenager, and God entrusted her with raising the Savior of our world. It's unexpected. Mary was from a town called Nazareth. It was a backcountry, hillbilly town in Galilee. There was a saying that went around in Jesus' time and day that went like this. It was a question, and it asked, "Can anything good ever really come out of Nazareth?" The Savior of the world was entrusted to a teenager straight out of Nazareth. It's all really unexpected. Perhaps the most unexpected of all, at least for Mary, was the scandal that she would have to bear in bringing the Savior into the world. You see, Mary had been pledged to be married to Joseph, which meant that they were technically married, but they were waiting for the time, the day, to officially tie the knot. They were waiting for the day of the ceremony and the consummation of the marriage. Now, first century Jewish weddings, this is the way they worked. During the first year of the marriage, the married couple lived apart in order to prepare for their future with one another. The house was prepared and income, employment was secured, and income was secured in order for life to be sustained as a couple. The year was spent apart in this preparations, but they were married. And so God's angel appears to Mary in the waiting. And he says, "Mary, God is going to do something so mysterious, so powerful, so unexpected, that you will conceive and give birth to the Messiah, even though you've never been with a man." It's profoundly unexpected and profoundly scandalous. For Mary to be found pregnant during this year of waiting before consummating her marriage to Joseph, it would have had some major repercussions in her life. I mean, major. I mean, try telling your parent or your friends as the baby bump starts to show, "Honestly, Mom, I'm telling the truth. You know, the angel, and there was the Holy Spirit, and the Son of God." There's no doubt that family, friends, the whole community around Mary, they would have shamed and disowned her because of the scandal brewing in her belly. But that first Christmas, there she was, alone. An unexpected woman, given an unexpected announcement about a child to be born in a very unexpected way. You see, everything about the Christmas story is about the God who works in unexpected ways to do unexpected things through unexpected people. So let me ask the question. Do you believe that God can do the unexpected in your own life? I'm not talking about conceiving the Messiah. That's already been done. But let me ask again. Do you believe that God can do the unexpected in your own life? See, that's what Matthew's telling of the Christmas story is pointing toward. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, Mary, in all of their stories, God does the unexpected to bring a measure of his salvation into each one of their lives. And so let me ask a third time. Do you believe God can do the unexpected in your own life? The unexpected. Like restore a broken relationship. Or mend a strained marriage. Do you believe that God can do the unexpected in your life? To heal a sickness in your body or a wound in your heart? Do you believe God can turn the destructive anger that you have into the spiritual fruit of patience, kindness, self-control? Or to bring peace to the anxiety that cripples you? Do you believe God can forgive your past, even the past you haven't forgiven yourself from? Or to give you strength to forgive someone who's hurt you, wronged you, betrayed you? Or what about this? Do you think God can fill you with new gifts of His Holy Spirit? A new encounter with Him? A new breakthrough? A renewed love for Him? In short, I'm asking if you believe the God of Christmas, Jesus, the Messiah, can do something in your life that you never thought possible before. Mary was faced with that exact question. Mary, do you believe God will do the unexpected on this very night? The angel asked. And I can imagine for Mary, she was faced with three possible answers to the question. She could say, yeah, right. It's the response of skepticism. Or she could say, no way. It's the response of dismissal. God and the miraculous are pure nonsense. Or she could have said, may it be so. It seems to me that we're all faced with these three choices when it comes to Mary's unexpected Christmas question. Do you believe God can do the unexpected in your life? And we have three choices. Yeah, right. No way. Or may it be so. Mary answered, may it be so. Why? How could she answer like that? I think it's because she knew the stories of the women who came before her. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba. She knew what God could do. She knew what God had done. And so Mary gave her answer. May it be so, God. And that's Mary's invitation to each one of us tonight to give that same answer too. How will you answer the unexpected Christmas question that Mary leads us to? Do you think God can do something unexpected, the unexpected in your life? Something redemptive, something powerful, something unexplainable, something for His glory. And how will you answer the question? Yeah, right. No way. Or may it be so. May it be so. May it be so. As we sing the final songs together. May it be so as you drive home in your car or as you tuck your kids to bed. May it be so as you reach out to someone who is hurting and you know you need to reach out to them. May it be so with words of kindness and forgiveness. May it be so on Christmas morning. May it be so in your life. Jesus has made a way. We have a tradition at our Christmas Eve service where we light a candle that represents Jesus, the Messiah. The candle, it represents Jesus, the light of God that comes into our darkness. And what we do is we light this candle as a way of telling the gospel story that Jesus invites all of us into. And what we do is we light our candle and we pass it around the room or a glow stick if you're young and have a glow stick. Nice work up there. we pass it around the room as a symbol of receiving the light of Christ, as a symbol of saying, may it be so, God. And it's a way of retelling the gospel story. Because in the beginning, there was the light of God. And when you were conceived in your mother's womb, God lit the light of your life. And it wasn't just the light of your physical life. It was the light of your spiritual life with God. But in time, and sometimes this happens through life, we move away from the light. Sometimes we say no to God and turn our back on Him. And when we do, the light goes out. The light dies. That's what sin does to us. But God is not content to leave you or I or anyone in His world left in darkness and death. And so the light of God took on flesh and came as a human baby, a person named Jesus, in order that whoever believes in Him, whoever turns their life back to the light, they receive their light back. This is why Jesus has come. He wants you to have your light back. And so as we pass this flame that comes straight from the light of Jesus this evening, as you receive the light, and we have some candlelighters who are going to come and pass this light around, as you receive the light of Jesus, receive it as though you're giving your may it be so, God, in my life tonight. Let's receive the light of Christ. And so why don't you stand with me and take your candles, and the candle lighters will make their way to you.